This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
And we start off tonight in Turkey, and thank goodness, some good news for a change.
Good news from
yes,
Turkey.
Yes, exactly. So a ban on all LGBTI events has been lifted in the Turkish capital of Ankara. So Turkish LGBTI rights organisation Chaos GL, based in the capital Ankara, has successfully challenged the blanket ban and indefinite ban, imposed on all LGBTI events that were since 2017.
We've, of course, spoken to Chaos GL here on the show. They do a really great job, and they've been challenging this ban for the past about year and a half.
Yes.
The first appeal in the administrative court was successful, and this decision has been described as final.
That's interesting. Is that the decision to ban it, as in
overturn the ban, so they can have pride events again?
They can have pride events again. The blanket ban was dependent on the state of emergency, which was lifted in July 2018.
That first came into place 2016, I believe, after the attempted coup. So it was many people saw that as an attempt by Erdogan to sort of have a clamp down on a whole range of opposition groups.
And the court ruled that was unlawful. So that's a really good step ahead.
Interesting. This has happened in Ankara, and not you would think this would naturally happen first. The lifting of the ban would more naturally have happened in Istanbul, but so it's interesting that's coming from the capital, which has traditionally been a little bit more, I think, behind, a little bit more conservative or slower than Istanbul. It's an interesting development there in Turkey.
Across to Malaysia now, where Malaysian police are reportedly investigating a prominent LGBTI rights activist after he reported on the activities of the government to the United Nations Human Rights Council in session last month. Last week, police asked Numan Afifi to visit a police station to give a statement. He posted on social media saying, "I will not bow to these acts to harass or intimidate me. As a human rights defender of Malaysia, I fight for all human rights and will continue to do so."
Now, there's been rising intolerance of LGBTI people in Malaysia over the last year. Afifi delivered a joint statement from 12 LGBTI-related organisations at Malaysia's Universal Periodic Review of the Human Rights in Geneva, Switzerland. We've heard several countries reporting on their progress.
And when we had Paula Gerber on the show a couple of weeks ago, she was explaining this. So basically every 5 years, countries are reviewed and other countries have a say, make proposals on how they can improve basic human rights.
And sometimes they accept them, which I think we heard a couple of weeks ago. And in this case, the Malaysian government has rejected 10 LGBTI rights recommendations, which were recommended by the human rights body.
The local journalism organisation, Malaysia's Centre for Independent Journalism, has called on police to halt this investigation, saying it merely serves to highlight the harassment, bullying and discrimination faced by LGBT persons in Malaysia.
Some more good news from India. A first for the Indian city of Mumbai. It's seen the establishment of an LGBTI health clinic established to offer support and medications for HIV. There are about 2.1 million people in India who are living with HIV, and it's the marginalised groups, it's the gay men, the trans people, the sex workers who are especially impacted. The clinic's been established by an organisation that's been going for 25 years called the Hamsavar Trust, and they've been advocating for LGBTI rights.
It really surprised me that it's only just happened now, given the size of the population that they're dealing with.
And this is the only clinic of 1,700 clinics which offer antiretroviral therapies around the country, so it really is a first. And the issue is that even if gay and bi men or trans people get tested and discover that they're living with HIV, the health services are generally very discriminatory and they're full of stigma. What the CEO of the Hamsavar Trust said, their name is Vivek Anand, what they said in an interview in The Guardian, "We've known days when trans communities couldn't get past the doors of public healthcare deliveries in India. Security doesn't even let them in. So this is why this clinic is so important.
The other big news out of India is they're coming up to their national elections, which runs in several phases across about a three or four week period. It'll be the first national election since India's very exciting Supreme Court decision to decriminalise same-sex relations. And so there are a number of LGBT-friendly policies, including anti-discrimination policies, up for grabs, and a number of LGBT people in the running for office in India.
Which we mentioned a few weeks ago, didn't we? It's amazing the figures, like 900 million Indian citizens eligible.
It's crazy. It was the same with the Indonesian election, and it's like mind-blowing.
It takes 5 weeks for them to do the election in seven phases.
It's Anthony amazing. Green would not be calling that one on the night.
Now, over to South Korea, and Christian pastors have apparently violently disrupted an LGBTI pride event in Incheon, South Korea. And these the LGBTI members of the LGBTI community there have laid charges against the organisers of the rally.
In fact, they've accused these Christian pastors of grabbing a person in a wheelchair and shouting at them.
Yes. It's,
and damaging vehicles.
Same behaviour. So, yes, and more than 1,000 conservative Christian demonstrators verbally and physically attacked the inaugural Incheon Queer Culture Festival.
And in fact, the organisers have actually accused the police of failing to act as well.
Yes. Yep.
And in brief, in Northern Ireland, Lyra McKee, the 29-year-old journalist and LGBT rights activist, was shot dead last week while covering a riot in Derry.
In Taiwan, Taiwan will become the first country in Asia to legalise same-sex marriage on the 24th of May. There are 157 weddings expected, according to the media, on that day, and over 4,000 same-sex couples are already registered to marry.
And in Cuba, a pilot program is reportedly making PrEP available for free to some gay and bisexual men. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.